Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. We're going to try to make it a happy Monday. We're going to continue to try to look for the positives, the growth areas, the ways that we can develop out of what kind of craziness we're living through right now and better ourselves for it. I want to listen in real quick here to Governor Parson before we take some calls. We've got Jim and Ben here, and we're hoping to connect with Jack Brewer, former NFL player who's been speaking out on this issue as well. Let's listen in to the governor real quick before we get to these calls.
Economic downturn. Which means we are having to make unprecedented adjustments to our budget. We have had numerous conversations with DESE, the State Board of Education, superintendents, and administrators to keep them as informed as possible throughout the COVID-19 crisis. And it is important to make these decisions now so school districts can adjust before next year's school year. Our intent is to withhold now and avoid withholds once school begins. In the short term, we will be able to subsidize $187 million in federal funds distributed as Title I dollars to help a majority of our school districts. Today, Commissioner Van Deven is here to talk more about these funds and let her talk a little bit and explain that to you. Margie?
So the governor of Missouri speaking on some of the education issues. I know a lot of people are wondering about what schools are going to do when they come back. They're talking about some funding things. So we'll keep a close eye and ear on that and bring any news that comes out of that press conference to you. While we wait to connect with Jack Brewer, a former NFL player who's been speaking out in defense of George Floyd, but also in defense of our country and putting our country back together in a productive way, I want to get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. Ben is holding right now. Let's get Ben on the line here. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is crazy. But anyway, I'm going to shine a good light on your police department. Because when I was younger, as a young black man, I went to Webster High School, mm-hmm. But I hung out in South County and Kirkwood a lot, and I dated white girls. So I had the problems with the, white officers back then. That was 30 years ago, I guess. But now, in this last 30 years, and I've got pulled over, and yes, I've been harassed by, cops, period, whether they white or black, when I was younger. Here lately, in my oldest, my son is 27. I'm going to say in the last 27 years, times I have got pulled over. It's all about your attitude, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that would transcend color, I would think, too. Like, you could be a white person with a bad attitude, and that would not go well for you.
Exactly. It's all about your attitude. And believe me, a lot of stuff that officers have to pull you over for, because I got a lot of St. Louis County friends as cops. And I hear from them all the time, man, we really don't feel like being bothered with all this. I mean, because, you know, we write a ticket for this, we got to go home and write a report on that, and then we got an incident report for this, you got to answer. Don't nobody feel like doing all that. So most of the time, you know, we don't feel like being bothered.
Ben, but, you're saying you've seen, here in the St. Louis area, you've seen in your last 30 years a great improvement?
Not just here in St. Louis. Even across the country, you know, in different areas that I've stayed in for a little while or whatever have you. Yes, I've gotten pulled over as a black man. And, yes, there's been white cops and there's been black cops. And there's been times in the last 30 years that I even been with somebody mm-hmm. who's had an attitude with the cop. And I diffused the situation because it's like, dude, they don't want to do this. So chill out. Leave him alone. Just take your ticket or see what he's going to do or whatever have you, blah, blah, and chill out. Because, you know, you start up stuff, yeah, they the law.
Yeah.
And
Ben,
they're going to take that. You know, if you got an attitude with them when they walk up to the car, you don't know what kind of day that cop was having. You don't know what kind of day he started out with or the night he started out with before he came to work. You don't know that. So it's all about your attitude to me. And I'm not saying that there's not bad cops, because we know that there are.
Sure. Ben,
but for the most part, go ahead.
I got to run, but I really want to thank you for your perspective and your insight. Like I said, we're going to do a lot of listening on the show and bring people in here, and yours is very welcome, and I'm grateful that you called.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, Ben, thank you. And I want to shift gears because our guest is on the line, a former NFL great, Jack Brewer, joining us now. He is the CEO of the Brewer Group. You can find him on Twitter at Jack Brewer BSI. Jack, thank you so much for squeezing us in your schedule right now. It's a pleasure to have you on our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a busy one, unfortunately. These issues are so important to discuss, so it's a pleasure to join you.
Well, they are important to discuss, and you know, it's difficult to be in a position where I, as a talk show host, you know, I have to watch what's going on. A lot of people are turning the news off right now. I don't know if that's the solution, but it is very hard to consume all of the different layers of what is taking place right now. It started with George Floyd, and we kind of began this show saying, when, you know, at the end of the week, last week, I've never seen the country more unified, that what happened to George Floyd was wrong. And then we go into the weekend, and it seems as though something else has taken over this unison voice that we had about what took place in the George Floyd tragedy. And, you know, now you've got people going, what is happening to our country? Jack, what is your reaction to what you're seeing alongside what we're all seeing at the same time? What should Americans take from what is taking place right now and try to put into their thoughts to make tomorrow a better day?
Faith. If I had to ask in one word to put the finger on where we're at now and where we can go in the future, I think it goes back to faith. And I think, you know, when you watch and you see how a country can be so outraged as a group, as a nation, we were outraged. This one was different. I think the country was saying enough is enough here with what we saw. And then for it to be spun in the way that it has, really we're seeing a lot of the deep-rooted cultural issues that we have really seeded in our nation through our children and our kids and our youth and the social media that they are on and the music that they consume on a daily basis, the movies that they watch. I mean, you're seeing people now go out in the name of a peaceful man who got slain in the street by a rogue murderer, taking that man's name and looting the streets the way that they are, they're taking selfies and pictures in front of burning businesses and, you know, posing in front of this destruction. It's right before our eyes. You know, this is not me making it up. We're all watching it happen. And it's really sad. I mean, to go in and set fire to a church building.
Yeah.
We know we are fighting the evilness of racism. Racism is evil. But this is much bigger than racism. The same evil spirit that was in that murderous cop is the same evil spirit that goes into somebody to go and stab a police officer in the neck or to go loot and burn down a historical building, or set fire to a church. All these things, and there's only one way we come together, and that's through faith. And we got to have faith in God, bring those principles back. And that starts with our leaders. Our leaders need to lead with the word of God sometimes. And instead of trying to fight all these battles with flesh and blood, we can't do that. It's not working, right? You send the National Guard out, you send the police out. All those things you do is not going to get to the deep-rooted issues that we have in our nation. And so, you know, it's a time for reconciliation. And the only way you can reconcile is through faith, and it's through holding each other's hand and telling each other you love you again, and embracing your neighbor and loving thy neighbor like thyself. It's just all those principles that we're taught as kids, we got to all admit, we're starting to lose those as a nation. You know, our kids are losing those. We're removing it from our schools, right? The church and the school don't have good ties right now. And so, you know, if you deny it, you're just blind to reality. And I think it's front and center for the American people right now.
We're speaking with Jack Brewer, former NFL player. You played with the Minnesota Vikings, among a few other teams. It sounds to me like what you're saying is we have a race problem, but it's a human race problem. And right. I'm asking you, when I'm sitting here, and, you know, I've got three little kids, 10, 7, and 4, and it's my job to watch the news and know what's going on, but I have to ask myself as a mother, do I let my kids see this? Do they need to know what's going on? And when they do, I can't keep them from it. It's reality. It's what's existing right now. How do I speak to my children about this? We've got a human race problem. You know, we are a family of faith as well. Can that message be the prevailing message that comes out of all of that? All of this is our nation, our culture right now. Are we in a position to make faith the prevailing message to come out of what we're seeing at this point in time?
If we don't, we won't get through it. I mean, it's clear. You know, I spoke with Alveda King earlier this week, and she talked about when her uncle and her dad marched. They marched with their Bibles in hand, and now we have leaders that march based upon what political party they are in. And this is bigger than politics. This is not the time to have ego leading us and ego guiding us and living in the flesh. This is not that time. This is that time that needs real healing. These are wounds that started before any of us were born. And unless we come as a nation and as a land and try to reconcile those things, like you said, it's a human race problem. If we don't reconcile those problems and we keep pushing them to the side, then the healing process will never work. Well, you have to teach healing, especially to a generation that's been raised from social media and rap music and violent movies and a culture of girls being half naked in front of the camera. Like you gotta go back and do some soul searching, because that's what the majority of kids are consuming. And so if we want to pretend that it doesn't happen just because maybe our kids don't get that, the majority get that. We have a fatherless crisis in our country where over 70% of black kids are born with no father. You know, even in the white community, you have a huge fatherless gap. Now, these are the issues. And unless we're willing to admit that and go to the core of it, and come in and take Christ's body in godly churches and people and go into these schools and start working on the souls of our kids. Our kids don't have a fear of God right now. And a lot of people in our nation, that police officer that committed that murder, doesn't have a fear of God. And so we can't try to create answers and solutions for spiritual problems, because all they're going to do is continue to ignite. And that fire will be set. And this is setting a precedent, because now people feel they can overtake the police. I mean, we're watching police cars burning in the streets of America, all across the nation, burning. I mean, this is sick, and this is a spiritual war. And I just pray that we call it what it is, and we actually you know, seek our Father and ask for repentance, and he will heal our land.
Jack, I have to say, we've got a lot of people commenting along with our web chat on our webcam, on our Facebook Live, and to quote Damon, dude is speaking truth, and we couldn't agree more. I'm really grateful that you fit us in your schedule today, and your voice is so welcome here. Anytime you can come back, we would love to have you. Jack, thank you so much.
Thank you, and I just want to say a quick prayer right now, and I just ask God, and I ask everyone listening, and I'll pray in agreement. Pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. We have to seek the face, and we have to repent, and we have to ask God to heal our land. And I just bless your station and your voice, and hopefully it magnifies and just keep you protected and keep your voice protected so that our country can hear the good news and hear the truth. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Jack Brewer, thank you so much for your time. A real honor and pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Absolutely. Next time we can get him on, Katie. You just, you know, book him for the next segment at 2:40. Get Adrian in here when we come back.
Awesome.
I have nothing to add to that. That is amazing. All right.
Yeah.
I got to say, as a person of faith, and I know that you listening, you may not have the same faith that I do. I respect that. But anytime there is an instance where, as we said earlier, Ryan was talking about how he's reacting to this. Katie, you know, your tweet is earlier saying, if 2020 doesn't bring you to Christ, I don't know what will. Hey, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Let's take a quick break. Adrian Norman, when we come back. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. So it was a real, real pleasure to have the NFL great Jack Brewer join us and pretty much just take us to church. So yeah, I want more of that. That was fantastic. Yeah. If you missed it, it's definitely one of those you're going to want to go back and listen to. The way he talks about the race problem that we have in our country right now, it's a human race problem. And I think that that is spot on. We've got another guest, a friend of mine, Adrian Norman, joining us right now. He's a writer for the Epoch Times. He also has a book out called The Art of the Steal, Exposing Fraud and Vulnerabilities in America's Elections. And you can get that on Amazon, and we're going to share that link for you as well. Adrian, thank you so much for coming on with us today. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, likewise. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Sure. So I want to ask you, when we talked about what we were going to discuss today, I said, I would like something that we can take from where we are right now and push it forward. How do we take the situation that we're seeing as Americans right now of all different shapes, sizes, and colors and put it into something moving forward? Do you have an answer for anybody?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, these aren't organic protests, just regular, average, everyday Americans. These are far-left agitators who are most likely being paid, at least the people who are organizing it are being paid. There's speculation about foreign government involvement, which could take several different forms. So this isn't just your normal next-door neighbor who's out there rioting. This is being fomented by somebody with a specific agenda. I think it's important to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But going forward, we're already seeing more activity from law enforcement moving to try to quell these protests. Riot teams and the FBI's hostage rescue team are being sent to D.C. and Miami to try to assist. Bill Barr is taking additional action, and you know there are, I think, 56 regional FBI joint terrorist task forces that are being used to identify the organizers of these riots. So I think the steps are being taken to help ensure the security of American citizens and American business so these riots don't continue any further.
Yeah, I have to say that watching this, I have major questions over who's protesting and who's rioting. Do you feel as though they are definitely different people?
What's that? Hello, I think I lost you.
Oh, right. Can you hear us? Can you hear us? Okay.
Oh, okay. I got you. But what was the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Do you feel like there's a difference in people, in group of who's protesting and who's rioting? You think they're two pretty separate groups of people?
Oh, definitely. Two completely different groups of people at this point. Even George Floyd's family had requested that Antifa not even show up when they came onto the scene. the day after the killing when the protest first began. So you have people who are trying to capitalize on this again for their own political ends, which I guess we have yet to confirm. But, you know, as far as what we can do, you know, as far as average citizens, I mean, at this point they're talking about moving these riots from urban areas out to the suburbs. So a lot of people could be coming to your neighborhood. So I think it's important to be vigilant, talk with your neighbors, come up with a plan with your neighbors, and also a plan for your individual family should you be targeted. You know, what are you going to do if your house happens to catch on fire? Do you have a plan to get out? Do you have a meeting point? Do you have firearms or some other way to defend yourself should something happen? These are questions that we have to kind of start asking ourselves until this thing kind of dies down. And, you know, the best response you can have is a prepared response.
Adrian, I'm going to put you on hold here real quick. We're having some difficulty with your line. If you don't mind, we're going to see if we can get a better connection for it. There's some issues here that we're having. So I want to get, because I really want to hear what you have to say and talk a little bit more about that. So hold on just a second, Katie, if you want to just get him on hold and then we can reconnect with him on a cleaner line. But, you know, Ryan, when you're listening to what Adrian's saying here, when you're listening to what we just heard from Jack, and you combine that with talking to Chief Delmore at the beginning of the show, I hear so much agreement among everybody who's talking about this. The detractors are the people who, I guess, show up late at night and just cause the destruction. At least that's how it feels.
Yeah, they're completely self-seeking. They seem to not have any desire to actually move a conversation forward. They're greedy and they're doing things for their own personal purpose. In fact, it's one of the things I'm hopefully we can get him back, because I wanted to ask him about that very topic, about the organized protests. You know, these don't seem like they're just strictly political things. They seem much deeper than that. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to talk to him.
I think that it's you can see it with your own eyes when you see people who are Antifa-based people who are causing destruction, and then the Black Lives Matter people will, like, stop them from what they're doing, go deliver them to the police officers and say, here, this is an agitator that's not peacefully protesting. It seems as though that's happening with some regularity. And using, you know, some of these Antifa people they'll have Black Lives Matter signs. They'll have Black Lives Matter, you know, indicators. So it's almost like they get to destruct under the guise of a protest, you know. And I got to say, too, that for me, I feel like I could stand next to a Black Lives Matter protester right now that was doing so peacefully. I feel like I could do that and not have to agree with them politically on basically anything, but still have a common understanding about why that voice needs to be out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there are people who genuinely want to have a conversation. I think that's the majority of people who are saying, look, if you're part of the protest, you're saying, look, we're trying to get attention for something here that we want to have a conversation about, a national conversation. And then there are other people who are commandeering that goodwill conversation and using it for their own purposes.
Well, we got Adrian back here. Let's get him back on the line here. Adrian, sorry about that. I think we were having some issues.
That's okay.
We're grateful that we could work this out with you. Adrian Norman is a writer for the Epoch Times. He also has a book out called The Art of the Steal, Exposing Fraud and Vulnerabilities in America's Elections. Ryan and I are just kind of discussing how it seems as though there is more than one group acting out right now. There are people who are protesting. There are people who are looting and causing violence. And, you know, I feel now more than I ever have before that I could stand next to somebody who was saying Black Lives Matter and potentially disagree with almost everything politically that they might stand for, but still understand how when I say all lives matter, that does include Black lives. It doesn't need to be exclusive. I don't need to say, you know, Black Lives Matter, but, like, now is a time where we could all stand against the destruction that is happening to our country and actually find something to be in unison about.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that we should definitely try to use this moment to unify the country. I mean, it's a little hard to do when you have people who are burning down businesses and mm-hmm. burning down the guard station at the White House and burning down churches. But yeah. There's got to be a way that we can come together. And I think once we you know, I mentioned earlier, but there's some action being taken by law enforcement to find out who's organizing these riots, and I think they're going to hit them pretty hard and take action. Once that element is out, you know, I think we can get back to a culture where we have regular protests that aren't violent, and we can start to address these types of issues because, you know, a big spotlight's being shown on this. And this isn't just about the incident with George Floyd. There's been a bubbling below the surface for a long time of discontent among people who have been very upset with the lack of justice in certain cases where, you know, there's police violence and people feel as though appropriate action wasn't taken. And this was just kind of one of those moments that's a straw that broke the camel's back. So hopefully we can kind of refocus our attention on coming together and working towards solutions to try to ensure that these things happen on an even more limited basis.
Yeah, Adrian, I wanted to ask you before we run out of time. You mentioned that the violent protests that are happening, the rioting, that seems like it's more and more being shown to be an organized thing. Maybe not every single person in it is knows they're in an organization, but somebody is helping those things happen. What do you think is the motivation for that? It doesn't seem so clear-cut, red-blue, political like we talk about most things. What do you think is the point of that?
So here is, I would say at this point, we kind of have to view everything through the lens of the 2020 election. You know, this is a probably more critical election than even 2016. And all assets are going to be deployed. So we have a lot of people who want specific outcomes, and they're going to exploit whatever circumstances they can to try to bring about the result that they want for their side. So I think we can expect to see even more of that throughout the year. But I think ultimately what's causing this to have been kind of, you know, commandeered by some sort of outside force was people who want to exploit it for, again, political gain because this is an election year. But, you know, again, the families requested no violence. There are a lot of people who don't want to see violent protests. The people who tend to be setting these fires, I think, and causing a lot of the violence are some sort of outside actor. And I think over the next coming weeks, we might get more clarification on exactly who's behind that.
Adrian, I want to ask you one more question before we go, because I've seen there's political connotation that surrounds what we're seeing right now. Everything has political ramifications, like everything in 2020 has political ramifications. But do you think, you know, we've seen Blexit, and we've seen more Black Americans on Twitter making a name for themselves by being outspoken about supporting President Trump. Does what is taking place right now affect that at all? Do you feel as though the president's message has been largely against, like, received by the Black community as pro or anti, or do you think he just needs to step up to do more? How does this all factor into that movement that we've seen where we've expanded, I don't know, what was it, like 5% of the Black vote had gone to Republicans before, and it looked to be 8%, and it looked to be growing. It looked to be expanding. This is a huge issue. Joe Biden is out talking today for the first time in a while. How does this fit into that story, or is it just too soon to see?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the response from the White House to this. You know, a lot of people have been expressing online their discontent with the action that's been taken, saying Trump needs to step it up a little bit more. I'm not sure if I do or don't just agree with that at this point. But as far as what you were mentioning with the polling numbers, yeah, the GOP typically got, you know, 8% of the Black vote. As of last fall, the president's support had risen up to 34%. This is reported by Rasmussen, the polling company that most accurately predicted the results of the 2016 election.
Yeah, that's seismic.
Just a couple months ago in February, the number was actually up to 46%, but now it's plummeted another 12 points back down to 34%. So it's hard to say. I think that the response of the White House to this and the response of organizations like Blacks for Trump is going to have a large determinant factor on what that outcome looks like and who shows up at the polls and who they're casting their ballots for. Because people don't want to feel like they're being pandered to. People are kind of tired of hearing the talking point. Black unemployment is at an all-time low. They want to know what the administration is doing, what other policy priorities the administration has to try to bring about change in the black community. And the administration has actually made a lot of overtures and done a lot of things, but people aren't really talking about all those other things. So I think it's going to come down to messaging and getting in front of people, you know, not just using social media influencers and an online presence in the rallies, but actually going into these communities and courting these people and talking with people, working with people hands-on, face-to-face, addressing the concerns, letting them know that you care, and actually working boots on the ground to earn those votes.
The president needs to speak, doesn't he? Doesn't he have to address the nation?
Agreed.
Come on, dude. Like, let's hear it, President. Let's hear what you have to say and lead us. I think that that's something that we need as a nation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Barack Obama is giving statements. You know, President Trump, in my opinion, should just do a national address and just kind of take some of this stuff head on.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Adrian Norman, I want to encourage people to check out your fantastic book, The Art of the Steal, Exposing Fraud and Vulnerabilities in America's Elections, a very timely book. And you can catch it on Amazon, and we will share that link on 971talk.com/Annie. Also, follow Adrian at Adrian Norman DC. Thank you so much, Adrian. Always great to speak with you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the update on all of the news that maybe has happened here in the last hour or two. So stick around. We'll be right back. Happy Monday. Hope you are managing to get through today just as well as any other day. And, it's a hard time to... Can I come on here for 3 hours and, you know, can we talk about other things and try to shy away from what we are being faced with every time we turn the corner? I can, but I don't feel like that's what my responsibility is here. Katie and I were talking last night, just kind of going over on Facebook Messenger about like, are you watching this? Are you seeing this? And, you know, we lament that as much as we'd like to turn it off, we can't. And I assume that as much as you want to turn it off, there are times where you probably just can't. You kind of feel like you need to see what happens in this moment in time. As ugly as it is, as hard as it is to watch, ignorance is not blissful when it's this consequential. And I really do think that there's such a magnification in what we're dealing with right now because we don't have any distractions. Every distraction that we purposely fill our lives with is gone. There's no concerts to go to. There's no baseball games to watch. There's no playoffs to take in. There's, you know, you can't really, I guess you can go on vacations, but I mean,
but
you know,
you really can't.
It's, yeah. And if you wanted to go on a vacation, it's not like you're going to go on a vacation because, oh, you remember coronavirus? That's still a thing. So if you were to go on a vacation, you cannot leave coronavirus here and go just, you know, soak in whatever type of sun or sand or change of scenery in a coronavirus-less world. It's going to be there. I think there's a lot of individuals who are trying to figure out where they are at on the coronavirus situation. And in the midst of that, you're like, oh, but there are protests and there's unrest and there is violence and looting. It's like the world is upside down.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of requests for both Chief Delmore's interview to be put up online. I think it is. Is that right?
It is not up there yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay,
it'll
yeah.
Be that's, there that, shortly, yeah.
This is some post-show stuff that we will turn around quickly for you, but Chief Delmore's interview, again, if you have not subscribed to the Annie Fry Show podcasts, you can get the podcast as a whole. So if you missed the show and you want to catch up with it, I'm not going to flatter myself so much to believe that you will carve out 3 hours of your time every day to listen to the show in its entirety. But if you miss something or if you hear us talking about something that existed that you didn't get to hear, if you go to radio.com, type in the Annie Fry Show or just Google Annie Fry Show podcast, you'll get taken to a place where you can listen to it. But we have these interviews up there as well. And a lot of people requesting the NFL, former NFL player Jack Brewer, who was on with us at 2 o'clock, his interview, that will be up as well. I mean, in the midst of everything that we're dealing with right now, there's still like other normal life things that are taking place. There are other normal life events that are happening. And I feel like I kind of just start walking around in a haze. Like, yeah. There's this just like existence where you kind of feel like you got to put it on autopilot because paying attention is too painful.
Mm-hmm. It's been there's been so much happening that it just makes you wonder, you know, the phrase, it's always darkest before dawn. This has been a really dark time in the country. I mean, the last few months has been incredibly trying, very, very dark. We don't know if it's over yet, but it does give me hope that whenever it is, whenever we get past it and that dawn rises, it's going to be pretty special, and things may be different, and hopefully they are, and they're for the better. That's my hope in the midst of a very dark moment.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what better looks like.
I don't either.
Because if you are asking questions, I see so many people, mostly white friends of mine on social media, everybody, like, you need to put your two cents into the social media machine to be counted. Yeah. And I understand the compulsion to want to be on record. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. What I notice a lot, and it frustrates me, which is why you've probably heard me say at least two or three times today, I'm working on speaking for me, is I don't think it's very helpful to get on Facebook and make a declaration about what everybody else needs to do. I think that the benefit to society could be a declaration of what you're going to do. And even if it's something that you have been doing, to say how the choices that you're going to make and the reason why you're going to make those choices, I think that that's going to fall on many more willing ears than to virtue signal from a keyboard and a computer screen in a long line of people who are virtue signaling. Like, I get on Facebook and all these people who I like that I'm seeing and reading their posts, I love them. That's why they're on Facebook. I have a quick trigger on the unfollow thing on Facebook because I really want to like you in person. If I'm friends with you on Facebook, when I see you in person, I want to genuinely like you. And we live in a society now where we are required to know everybody's political thoughts about everything. That's new. That sucks.
Oh, sucks.
I am a political talk show host. I don't have the benefit of keeping that to myself.
Right.
I don't put it on my personal Facebook page. But, you know, other than that, I have this thing that's got my name on it, and it's out there. A lot of my friends and family have judged me hardcore, blocked me on Facebook even. They think they know everything about me, and that opinion completely changed after they found out where my political leanings were. Well, that's a shame. And guess what? I can't control how they feel about me, but I can still control how I feel about them. And I want to like you regardless of your political opinions. So maybe, just maybe, we would be better served if we start talking about what we're going to do ourselves and leading by example. That's going to speak a lot louder. Actions speak way louder than words, especially words that come off of a computer screen. Thanks for listening today. Please consider going and subscribing to the podcast. And you can hear Ed Delmore, Stephen Moore, Adrian Norman, and NFL great Jack Brewer as well. A full show today. I'm sure it'll be a full show tomorrow. And Dave Glover is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.